And we're going to be in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter number 1 this morning. Kiddos, we love y'all. Y'all be good back there. And whenever I'm telling them to be good, I'm talking to my kids. The rowdy ones. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we go to His Word. Lord, we love You, Lord. We thank You that we're reminded during this season that, Lord, you did descend upon us on this world, Lord, in Your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, we pray and we ask that, Lord, we experience Your presence today. I pray that You would give us open ears to hear Your Spirit today. Lord, I pray and I ask that You would, no matter what the circumstances are that we're facing, I pray that You would fill us with joy today. I pray these things in the mighty resurrected name of Jesus. Amen. The theme for this Advent week is joy. And as it is the theme, we're going to talk about it. And what I want us to do this morning as we go to the text is I want us to see that when the angel Gabriel showed up to Zechariah, he said, you will have joy and gladness. When he greeted Mary, he said to Mary, a lot of times it's hail is translated that way or greetings. But in particular translation we're going to look at today, they translate it, rejoice, because the primary verb in the Greek is the word for joy or rejoice. He's telling her, rejoice, Mary. He greets them with joy, assures them that they will have joy. And here's the kicker, he tells them why. There's a reason behind their joy. And then we see them in this text experience joy. And we see why. They tell us why they experience joy. Now, one reason why I want us to focus in on the why, the reason, is because because I think that there is this this persistent kind of nagging insistence that you should just be joyful for no reason. That you should just be joyful because you're just gonna choose to be joyful. And that's a noble endeavor. But here's what I love about our Lord. The Lord never says, just be joyful. The Lord says, I'm going to give you reason to rejoice. I'm going to give you something to sing about. And why we should take a note of this is because I think sometimes that nagging insistence that we think, well, I should just be joyful. We think God is saying, you better be joyful. But God knows us. He knows the world that we live in. He knows that this world has been racked and ravaged by sin. Capital S, the power of sin. Small s, the sins that you and I do. He knows that not only do we do sin, but sin happens to us as well. And He is not, He doesn't take that for granted. He doesn't take it for granted this holiday season, that you might be trying to struggle through the holidays with grief in your heart over those who are no longer with you in the holiday season. He doesn't take that for granted. He doesn't take it for granted that there's an 11-year-old girl at Texas Children's Hospital. Whose life has been altered because they tried to save her life. He doesn't take it for granted. He doesn't take you for granted, your hurts, your longings. And in fact, when we find the reason why, it's because God sees the horror, the pain, the shame, the brokenness. And it's the reason why these people are allowed to praise is because it's God saying, I've heard your prayers and I'm coming to make good on my promises. So today, we're going to just remind ourselves. I'm not telling you all anything new. I don't think. We're going to remind ourselves about their joy, the joy that they experience. I say we're invited to joy with them, to rejoice with them. But then also, here's what I want us to do. I want us to think, why might we have joy? I'm going to offer some things to you, but then I'm also going to let us sit just with the Lord for a few moments. And let God's Spirit speak to you. Because I don't want to be the pastor who says, you better be joyful. I believe God gifts us joy. He gifts it to us. It's something that he gives to us with reason. Because he knows this world is no friend of grace to help us unto God. He knows your grief. He knows your sorrow. He knows your struggles. He knows the longings of your heart. He knows your shame. He knows your guilt. He knows your woundedness. And so with that, let's be reminded about the text. We'll begin in Luke chapter 1. We're going to pick up in verse number 11, but let me just set the scene here. Zechariah is doing his, twice a year he would go to Jerusalem and he would minister at the temple. And because of how many priests there were, probably once in a lifetime opportunity, he would get to go burn incense in the, not the most holy place, not the Holy of Holies, right? But he would get to go into the temple building and burn incense before the veil, right? Probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Zechariah gets to go and do this awesome thing. And Zechariah doesn't get to do this when he's 20. He is old. And the text tells us that Zechariah and his wife, who have been faithful to the Lord, before the law, they're blameless and they're righteous. That doesn't mean that they never sinned. It means that they did what the law called upon them to do to atone for their sin. It doesn't mean that they were never unclean. It's that they just did the ritual ceremonies to get cleansed, right? It was not that they were perfect. It was that they were faithful. And they trusted God's forgiveness. They trusted his grace. They trusted his mercy. But this old man and his old wife had never been able to have children. And Zechariah is there on this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, making the prayers before the Lord and burning the incense before the Lord. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. That word troubled could mean terrified. And I think I would be pretty scared too. Brother Mitch, a couple weeks ago, just so y'all know, Brother Mitch was walking into the building and I had been back there. There's some ladies who meet for a Bible study on Wednesday morning. And I was talking to them, and they were in the Connect Cafe, and I came around that corner, and I saw Brother Mitch walking up, and I don't know, you know, sometimes you just get those silly moments, and he was walking in, and I was just going to open the door for him, but instead of just opening the door for him, I went, hey, and we're glad that neither one of us had a heart attack, because, you know, you do things, and then you think about it a little bit. Well, here's the deal. I was laughing. I tickled myself good. I got him good, and he was not laughing. I think if he could have punched me, he would have. He was too busy doing this. but like, we're standing there. We laughed about it for a second. He goes to his office. Well, I come in here, and I was checking something over back here, and I turned around, and he's standing right there. And I just, so he got me back. And he goes, man, I could have gotten you even more. And I was like, okay, I'm glad you did it. But I mean, think about the scene. Think about it practically. Like, you're alone in this room, and you're alone before the Lord, and then somebody's standing there, and it's an angel, right? And so we don't know. It doesn't talk about him being radiant and all that, but just there's another being with you. And he's scared. What are you doing back here? Fear fell upon him, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Now, just at this moment, we can go back to, you see, the Lord works in rhythm and rhyme. We think about the patriarchs. Think about Sarah. We think about Rebecca and Rachel. We think about Hannah. I mean, all these things kind of start coming together, right? You shall have a son. You shall call his name John. And you will have joy. Kario in the Greek. Kario. You will have joy and gladness. You will have joy. Here's the thing. It's because it's a verb, it's not something that you possess. It's something you are. You will be filled with joy. You will be joyful. Right? It's action. You will be filled with joy and gladness. Not only you, many will rejoice, kario, at his birth. Wow. You're going to have a son. And if that's not good enough news, I want you to know you are going to be filled with joy. Okay, why? For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. If you want to summarize it, that's reason number one. You will have joy. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. And then he quotes really here from Malachi chapter number 4, verse 6, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You're going to be filled with joy because you're going to have a son, and your son is going to turn people back to God to prepare the way for the Lord. And it says, and so this is the reason why you are going to have joy. This is why you will be filled with joy. You will have a son, and your son will turn people back to God. Six months later, he shows up to an out-of-the-way town in Galilee. Nazareth. And he shows up to this young woman named Mary, who's engaged to be married to Joseph. And what we know is that they were engaged to be married, but they had not created their relationship yet. And Gabriel shows up to Mary, this young woman who is a virgin, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice. Be filled with joy." The Greek term, kar-e-o. Kar-e-o, Mary. Rejoice. Highly favored one. The highly favored one is the one who has been charis graced. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Rejoice, Mary. Rejoice. Okay, well, Mary, was troubled at this saying. What? Rejoice, rejoice over what? Rejoice why? I don't even know what to make of this. I've never had this experience before in my life. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son." Here's one reason why you should rejoice. You're going to have a baby boy. "And you shall call his name Jesus," which means the Lord saves. "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Rejoice, Mary. Rejoice because you're going to have a son. What did he say to Zechariah? "I've heard your prayer, Zechariah. I've heard yours and Elizabeth's prayer. I'm going to answer your prayer and I'm going to give you a son." And here's the thing that we should see with Mary. Mary wasn't praying for a baby boy. Mary wasn't probably ready to have a baby boy yet. Mary's probably looking forward just to getting married and having, just starting her life with her husband. But here's the reason why. Mary's going to have a boy, not because of the prayer of Mary, but because of the prayers of faithful Israelites for generation after generation after generation. Here's how I want us to make this connection. If you have your Bible, I don't have it up on the screen, go to Psalm 89. And if you don't have your Bible in hand, you probably have an app. There's an app for that. You can pull out your phone and you can look up Psalm 89 and you can follow along with me. And this psalm declares the Lord's covenant with David. I've made a covenant with David. It celebrates God's covenant with David. But then it comes down because we find out that this psalm was written whenever there was no king from David's line sitting on the throne. Psalm 89 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. The Lord says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed will I establish forever, and I will build up your throne to all generations. The Lord of hosts,
Who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with a mighty arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all of its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn, our leader, our ruler is exalted, for our shield belongs to the Lord and our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Oh God, because you've done this, let's just pour out praises. Pour out praises. Let's celebrate your mighty name. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One, and you said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted the one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also, my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. My faithfulness, my mercy shall be with him. My name, in my name, his horn shall be exalted. I will also set his hand over the sea, his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of earth. My mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. God, you are the mighty king to be exalted. And God says, oh, but I'm going to raise up David and I'm going to exalt him. And if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness, my mercy, I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever, like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, Selah. God, you said that you swore by David that you're making a covenant with him. You said that you would raise him up, that you would exalt him. You said that his throne would be established forever, God. You said you would punish his sons, but you would not rip the throne away from him. Get the picture? But, that's a disruptive conjunction right there. But, you have cast off and abhorred. You have been furious with your anointed. You have renounced the covenant of your servant. You have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken down all his hedges. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by the way plunder him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. But, God, when could this be written? In exile. But, God, his throne has been broken. His crown has been thrown to the ground. His walls, his defenses have been breached. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword and have not sustained him in battle. You have made his glory cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth you have shortened. You have covered him with shame. How long, Lord? Will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what futility you have created all the children of men. What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses? Where are your former mercies which you swore to David in truth? Remember, Lord, remember us. The reproach of your servants. How I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples with which your enemies have reproached, O Lord. With which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. God, you promised to David that you would keep somebody on his throne forever. You said you would punish them, but God, there's nobody sitting on his throne now. How long, Lord? How long are we going to bear the reproach? See, when he says, I'm raising up, I'm giving you a son, and he's going to sit on the throne of David, he's saying to Mary, I'm answering the prayers that have been prayed for hundreds of years. He not only heard Zechariah and Elizabeth's prayer, he heard the cry of all Israelites. And let's remember this. When God first came down in the burning fiery bush to rescue his people, Israel, out of Egypt, what did he say to Moses? I've heard the cries of my people, and I am come to rescue them. See, the reason why God is working and why he is bringing joy is because he doesn't take for granted your plight. He's not ignorant of it. And he's not callous to it. And he doesn't sit there and say, you deserve it. Even though you and I know we are well deserving of it. The Lord brings joy because he doesn't take you and me for granted. He doesn't take the shape of this world and the stain of this world for granted. So Gabriel tells Mary, he tells Zechariah, you will have joy. You will have joy. Why will you have joy? What's the reason for your? You're going to have a son. And your son's going to be mighty, Zechariah. But you having a son is an answer to your prayer. Oh, you're going to have a son, Mary. And your son is going to be the king of the highest. He's going to sit on the throne of David. Right? But your son is going to be the answer to the world's prayer. To the world's prayer, to the world's song. So we see them assured joy. And then in reverse order, we see them experience joy. Mary's famous song, the Magnificat. Oh, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Just so that we're clear, that joy is not carito or cario. It's a different joy. It's a different phrase or term. But she says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked. Why? Because he's looked at with favor on the lowliness of his servant. He's looked at me with favor. God has been gracious towards me. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones, and he's lifted up the lowly. This all reminds us of Hannah's prayer, this great reversal of fortunes. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he sent the rich away.
let's just narrow it all down. Let's just summarize it like this. He has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy. Remember your loving kindnesses, God. Remember your mercy was the prayer of Psalm 89. He's heard your prayer. He's helped Israel. And why did he do this? He did this according to the promise made to our ancestors. Not only has he heard your prayers, but he's made good on his promises. Why am I rejoicing in the Lord? Well, he's looked on me with grace. That's why he showered me with grace. He's taken me from what I was, and he's bringing me to something that I will be, and I couldn't have gotten there by myself. Now, let me ask you this. Is that your testimony? Has God made something out of your life that never would have been without him in your life? You know, I was raised in the faith from the womb. Whenever I was a kid, I would read and I would study my Bible. God gave me good teaching to do that, but also gave me good initiative to do that. But I also know this. I have a rebellious spirit. Some of y'all know I was asked to leave my Bible college because I broke the rules. Rebellious spirit. I wasn't asked to leave. I was told you need to go. All right, let's just say it better that way. I can look at my life and know that were it not for God's grace, my life, I would do some terrible, make some terrible decisions. I have made terrible decisions. And actually, I've, by his grace, not had to experience all the depth of those terrible decisions. Y'all with me on that? Some of those things you look back at and you're like, oh my goodness, how am I even still standing here? That's what Mary's saying. And it's unique to Mary for her story, because her story is about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords being supplanted in her womb. That's big time. But her story rhymes with our stories. And she recognizes it. She sees God's grace. See, the reason why she has to celebrate and to rejoice is because she recognizes God's grace. She recognizes it as God's grace. She doesn't go, well, this all makes sense because of who I am, right? I'm Mary. No. Oh, Lord, you showered me with favor. I don't deserve this. But not only have you done that, Lord, you've helped Israel. You've answered their prayer. Will you make good on your past loving kindnesses? Will you remember your mercy in Psalm 89? Yes, you've heard their prayer, and you've made good on your promises to do so. So that's Mary's experience of joy. Now, y'all know what happened. Zechariah did not believe Gabriel. He was struggling with wrapping his mind around the reality that he and his old state and his wife and her old state would ever conceive and bear a child. Even though Zechariah was very faithful, he thought Abraham's story was very unique to Abraham, right? He was like, that's a whole different thing. That's not going to happen to me. And so what does Gabriel do? Gabriel strikes him dumb. He can't speak, mute. And so for the whole pregnancy, he cannot speak until the Holy Spirit comes in. The day that they're circumcising his baby boy and they're going to name his baby boy, everybody's talking about, what are we going to name him? And they're throwing out family names. And Zacharias goes, no, I have it. His name shall be John. John. And Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied and he said, blessed is the Lord God of Israel. Rejoicing in the Lord, blessed is the Lord God of Israel. For he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Was Zechariah promised that his son was going to be king? No. His son was going to go before the king. And Zechariah says, I have good reason to celebrate. I have good reason to celebrate. God has heard the prayers, not only of me, but of his people, and he's made good on his promise. He's sending his king. He's making good on what he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. God, when are you going to take us from the people who are reproaching us? Psalm 89 prays. He has saved us from those who are reproaching us. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which with he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. He's heard not just my prayer, he's heard the prayers of his people, he's making good on his promises. He doesn't take for granted our plight. We would serve him without fear in holiness and in righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, my son, could you imagine him holding his baby boy? You, my child. You shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of our Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, through the loving kindness, through the covenant faithfulness of our God, with which the dayspring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, that's not the right one. What? No, that's the one that I wanted. I don't know what to do with her, y'all. Zechariah was assured joy, and he was given reason for his joy. Mary was assured joy, and she was given reason for her joy. Mary experienced joy, and she shares with us the reason for her joy. Zechariah experienced joy, and he shares with us the reason for his joy. Now, I believe that you and I have reason to joy with them, because what was given to Zechariah, the son that was given to Zechariah, was good for you and me. And the son that was given to Mary was good for you and me. John did go and prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus came. And whereas John prepared the way, Jesus made the way. He made the way for you and I to walk in peace with God. He showed us the possibility and the beautiful gift that when we cry out confessing our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he said, this is not to the Jew only, but this is to everybody in the world. I believe we have reason to joy with them if you've experienced trusting in and accepting the gift of God's Son. You have reason to joy. I'll say it like this. If there was nothing else ever that happened in your life that was reason for joy, it would be enough. It would be enough. But what I know is that God is more merciful to us than that. I don't know. I mean, I think about this. We sit in a world that is war-torn today. I'm looking at people whose lives have been so fractured from so many things. Not only in the past, but some of you are going through, like you are struggling through life right now at this very moment. Every day is a struggle on some level. And some of you, it seems the whole thing is a struggle right now. And we go, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. And you go, I need a reason. We have the reason. But I don't want to sit there and say, you better be joyful or else. I want you to go before the Lord and the God who sent Gabriel to say to Zacharias, you will have joy. Here's a good reason for your joy. Who went to Mary and said, rejoice. Well, I rejoice. I'll tell you why you should rejoice. Today, I promise, I believe that he is present with us right now, that you can go to him. You can go, God, I do joy in your son. And maybe you could say, God, fill me with that joy again. Spirit, speak to me. Maybe you have something that is stealing your joy. And God does not take it for granted. He doesn't take your plight for granted. He hears the prayers of his people. And maybe there's something that's stealing your joy and you know it. And you go, God, will you speak to me about this? Will you fill me with joy so I can walk out of this place, whatever circumstance my life is looking like, and I can be among the ones who are truly saying, my soul magnifies the Lord. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Glory to God in the highest. And that's the invitation today, that we sit before the Lord and we let his Spirit fill us with joy. He gives you a reason. Maybe it's an old reason, maybe it's a new reason, but he gives you that reason to walk out of this place filled with joy today. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give you space. Brother Mitch, if you'll come play, just so that it's not dead air that we're all so scared of. The silence. And then I want you to spend some time. If you need to be by yourself, or if you need to grab your spouse, or if you need to grab a friend, or you need me to pray with you, we can do that. But let's take this time and seek the Lord to fill us with joy. Lord, I love you and I thank you for who you are. God, some of us are filled with joy because we know the gift of our salvation, and maybe we haven't experienced that joy in a while. And Lord, what did David pray? Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Maybe we just need that joy restored to us today. Some of us know that there's something stealing our joy. And with good reason, it's stealing our joy. It's not a light thing. And so, Lord, I pray and I ask that you would be with us, that you would minister to us. Lord, my prayer is this, that you will be the one who fills us with joy today. You will give us a reason that we can hold on to. I think about this, Lord. I think about the apostles who were beaten up by the Sanhedrin, and they walked away rejoicing, and you gave them a reason to rejoice. They were rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer for your name. Lord, fill us with joy, I pray. And Lord, here's the deal. Even if we can't put our finger on it, fill us with joy. Even if we don't know the reason. I pray these things in the mighty resurrected name. I'm going to invite you at this time to meet with the Lord, to seek his joy. Thank you. Lord God, I come to you right now, and Lord, I just lift up the prayers of my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I don't want to take it for granted, but I look around at the crowd today, and I just think, I know the testimonies of people here, that they trust you, that they've experienced your salvation, Lord. But God, I pray and I ask, like, Lord, if there's somebody who's not experienced that, they haven't accepted your love, they haven't trusted in your son Jesus and been filled with your spirit, God, I pray and I ask that you would make that known to them, and that, Lord, even before they walk out of this place, they would grab me or grab somebody else that they know and love and trust, and they would say, I want to do that. I want to accept God's good gift of salvation. Lord, I pray and I ask that you would just please be with us today, that as we go from this place, Lord, we could go from this place filled with your spirit of joy. Lord, I pray, experiencing your joy. And then, Lord, I pray and I ask that we would be the people who bring joy wherever we go, Lord, this week. Let us not be the one who brings let us bring joy, the joy of the Lord to this world. God, I pray and I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, we have some joyful festivities tonight. We're going to be having our hayride. I know the kids are excited about it. I had some of our adults ask, are adults welcome too? Everyone is welcome. We want everybody to be there and to have a good time. And we hope and we pray that this will provide for us some good joy in this season. And so that's going to be tonight at 5:30. We'll need some folks to get here just a little bit early. I need some of my dudes to get here just a little bit early to help us get the trailers set up. So some of you men, if y'all are able to be here about 4:45, would you say, Brother Paul? About 4:45, that would be great. We could use your sturdy hands. And I don't want to be misogynistic about this. Ladies, some of you have some sturdy hands too. So if you want to come and move some center blocks around and do that, we welcome you too. We welcome everybody, all right? As we go from this place today, let us remember to be in prayer for those who we've mentioned here this morning and those who are on our prayer list. And as we go from this place, my hope and my prayer is that we are filled with the joy of the Lord. And I'll say this, we might not find joy in anything else, but might we find joy in our Lord each and every day. God be with you.